Heavenly Father, we trust and we remember all that you have done for us, that we might have hope and grace and mercy and peace and salvation, forgiveness. You have been so good to us, and we celebrate as we come this New Year's Eve Sunday, and we pause now to thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the good that's come in our life this year. We thank you for the hard things that have come. It's hard to say thank you for the hard things, but we know that you teach us that all things work together for our good when we love you. And so, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to celebrate together. And Lord, we pray that as we open your word on this last day of 2017, it's a good way to end the year. May it be the practice that we make of opening your word day and night every day of 2018 that you give us. So, Lord, may we not presume upon the future. We thank you for today that you've given us. We also pray that you might help us to be your people for whatever days you give us in 2018 and beyond till Jesus comes. In Jesus' name we pray, may my words honor Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5 is where I'd like for you to go. And I'm delighted that you're here today on this Christmas New Year's Eve Sunday. Sorry, folks, it all kind of goes together. And I'm running on about half empty here, so you'll have to forgive, or half full, however you want to look at it. And so forgive me today. I'll try to make my words make sense and not stumble along too much. But what I'd like to do today is I'd like for you to go to Ephesians 5, and I want to share with you my four New Year priorities. Now, Pastor Ken was up here talking about resolutions. My practice has been for many years to sit with the Lord and ask Him, all right, Lord, what do I need to focus on from your word so that I might be obedient for the next year? And so I'm going to share my personal four priorities. I call them priorities. These are things that I keep before me all through the year. It's not that all of God's word is not important. It's not that I'm not supposed to obey all of God's word, but these four things will become very much a part of the priorities and the things that I develop in my life, in my lifestyle, and in my words and all the rest. So I give this to you as an example. I would encourage you to do the same thing. To find the time, sit down, and say to the Lord, you do know that it's the last day of 2017, right? Everybody knows that? Okay, you do know it? If you say yes, I won't keep asking. Yes? Yes. Thank you. Now I can move on. The last day means all those things that happened in 2017 are gone. Some of them, you're glad they're gone. Some of them, you're sad they're gone. You look back on 2017, it's like going to a museum. They're all frozen in time. You can't go back into 2017. You can't reach back and pull anything from 2017 forward. It's all gone. It's all ended. And when this, if the Lord gives us the rest of the day, when 2017 ends tonight, it'll be done. So whatever happened to you this last year, here's the question I started with when I sat with the Lord this year. And it's what led me to Ephesians 5. How did my life in 2017 count for the cause of Christ? Now you might be surprised. Say, well, you're a preacher for heaven's sakes. Now, I'm a follower of Jesus just like you. And so either I'm pleasing the Lord with my life or I'm not. So I'm going to share with you how the Lord answered me. How did my life count for the cause of Christ? Could I just ask you, how did your life count in 2017? Not at your job, how did your life, your words, your thoughts, your actions, your planning, your purposes, your activities, how did your life, all that you were busy in 2017. Man, no wonder you're so tired. You were busy. How did your life count for the cause of Christ? Not for your own causes, but for His. Well, with that in mind, I came to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's Word. And sadly, I don't have this on a PowerPoint for you today, but I'll give you the points if you want them, and you can listen along. We'll do it the old-fashioned way. How's that? Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 8. Now, Paul is going to use some contrasts here. Contrasts are things that are opposites. He's going to talk about things that are opposites here, and that's very important for you to read as we read along. Ephesians 5, 8. For you, he's talking to these Ephesian Christians and reminding them that they weren't always born again. He reminds them of their past before Jesus. He says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Please notice, walk, that means live a lifestyle. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And then I came to verses 15, 18, and these are the four priorities that I have been praying over, and I'm sharing them with you today. You perhaps want to adopt these for yourself. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, notice the contrast, not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time, here's the contrast, the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, here's the contrast, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And here's the last contrast, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, help us to understand your word, and may we truly hear from you today as we enter into 2018 and seek to walk as children of light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So here are the four New Year priorities that I have set for myself to lay before the Lord, and I've shared these with the church. So you can put the list down. Pastor Mike's four priorities. You can keep track, you can score, you can check on me, and I appreciate that. I need it, and I want you to do that. But in doing this for you, I'm hopefully giving you an example of what might be good for you to do also. Because you too need to think about your life and what you did for the Lord last year, but what you did not do that was pleasing to the Lord, and make some changes. Number one, I will live by God's wisdom. That's the number one thing that I see here in these verses in verse number 15. I will not be unwise, but wise. So number one, I will live by God's wisdom. Number two, I will make the most of my time. I will make the most of my time. That's verse 16. Your Bible may say redeem the time. Make the most of it. Take your time back. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. So number one, I will live by God's wisdom. Number two, I will make the most of my time. Number three, I will understand the will of the Lord. And that's found in verse number 17. Don't be foolish, but understand. Understand, church. Understand, Pastor Mike, what the will of the Lord is. And then in verse 18, my final one is, I will live a spirit-filled life. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now let me comment on each of these just briefly for a few minutes together. So we learn, beginning in Ephesians 5:8, that this is a matter of how we live a lifestyle. So I want you to think about it. You went all kinds of places in 2017. You spoke all kinds of words in 2017. You thought all kinds of thoughts in 2017. You had all kinds of actions in 2017. You made all kinds of plans and carried out various things. Your life and my life filled, our lifestyles filled with thoughts, words, actions, plans, and all the rest. Some were wonderful, some were very hard. Paul says that we have the responsibility now, being born again, not to live in the dark anymore, but to walk as children of the light. In other words, the way you live exposes darkness, exposes unrighteousness, the light. So he says in verse number 13, all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. What did the Lord Jesus say to us all, church? He said, let your what shine? Your light shine, so that men may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven. When people look at you and when they look at me and I'm walking as a child in the light and I'm living for Jesus at work, at home, at church, in all my relationships, in what I'm planning and in what I'm doing, the light is on. They see something different. Let your light shine. Don't hide it. Let it shine, Jesus said. Let your light shine. But then Paul reminds us of the danger of how we walk. Be careful how you walk in verse number 15. As children of light. Listen, I'm talking to the children of light here now. Be careful how you walk in 2018. So I asked myself this question. I'm going to give you a series of questions that I asked myself through this process I went through. Have I been living by the wisdom of the world in 2017 or by the wisdom of God? Have I lived my life in the wisdom of the world? Notice, be careful, verse 15, how you walk. And the way you walk is protected by the wisdom of God. We could spend all day on each of these separately, but I'm going to just move through them quickly. The unwise lifestyle of the world. You know what the wisdom of the world says? I wrote some thoughts down here. The strongest always win. That's the wisdom of the world. Get yours before they get theirs. That's the wisdom of the world. Do to others before they do it to you. That's the wisdom of the world. Greed is good. That's the wisdom of the world. Look out for yourself. Nobody else cares about you. You got to take care of yourself. Pick yourself up. Be independent. You don't need anybody else. That's the wisdom of the world. I could go on and on. Be careful how you walk, my Christian friend. Pastor Mike, how did you do in walking with the Lord? How did you do as a child of light in 2017? Did I live my life? Did I make my decisions? Did I speak words? Did I think with the wisdom of the world, or did I think with the wisdom of God? You see, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What's that all about? The fear of the Lord means that, here's the shocking thing. God saw everything I did in 2017, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God heard everything I said, publicly or privately, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He saw everywhere I went. He observed all of my planning and purposes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you recognize God has a say in what you do, it changes your understanding. The wisdom of God is given to us. So Proverbs 2:6 says, the wisdom of the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to you. You see, friend, as you enter 2018, as I enter 20, we need wisdom. We need wisdom to know how to handle the circumstances and situations that come in our life. We need the wisdom of God to know what to say, are you listening, and not say. Where we don't need to go and where we need to go. See, it takes wisdom to know how to plan properly and how to not. You know, James tells us, let the person who says, well, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go that, first say, if the Lord wills. He's reminding us, you see, God has purposes. We need God's wisdom, church. Children of light, we need God's wisdom if we're going to be able to walk carefully in a world that's all around us that would seek to squeeze us and make us conform to its values. So, what do we see? First thing, I will live by God's wisdom. I'm going to make sure I pay attention to the book of Proverbs and to the wonderful words of wisdom and to the life of Jesus, who grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Secondly, I will make the most of my time. Now, when Pat and I were talking about this, I know this is a hobby horse, and I'm going to have to really make sure I don't run on this horse too long, because I do want to make some comments, but I do want you to see this. You see, this is such an important thing. You know, the way you spend your time can be sinful or holy. Did you know that? Your time, the way you... The Lord has given you time. Time is a sacred thing from God. Are you listening? It's a gift from God. Some of you went to your Christmas celebration and you looked at those at the table and you said, "Where has all the time gone?" I've been coming around here for a lot of years and brought my grandson Isaac over here for a long time. He's just a little tiny kid when we got over here. He's 18 years old now, graduated from high school. Where does the time go? And so Paul reminds us here that we need to make the most of our time. And then he says something unusual. He says the days are evil. You know why the days are evil? Because evil days are time wasters and time takers. Time takers and time wasters. Now, I have had to ask myself this question. How did I spend my time in 2017? How did you spend your time in 2017? I read these statistics. I can hardly believe them. These statistics that are out about how people spend their time. And maybe there's just an example of me living under a rock or getting old. I don't know. I cannot believe. Gallup tells us that the average person, now, the average, you understand an average? An average means some are above, some are below. An average. The average person, notice my voice is going up. I'm getting worked up here. Gallup says the average person spends 10 hours per day with a screen. With a screen. Put your screen down, by the way, and listen to me for a minute. Just a joke in case you're using a screen. Boys and girls who are here today, what you need to do is you need to ask your mom and dad and tell them that you want to bring a real Bible to church every week. Okay, this is a real Bible. All right? Tell them you want to bring a real Bible that has pages. And it starts in Genesis and goes to the book of Revelation. And you bring it and you open it. Pastor Mike, whoever's going to be preaching, comes up and you open the Bible and you read it. No screens. Did you spend 10 hours a day with somebody? Did you spend all kinds of screens? TVs, tablets, phones. I can go on. Screens. Spending our time with screens. I noticed something over the holidays at the Miller House. We had a lot of people on screens. We had to wait a few times while we were doing our gift exchange for somebody to get off their screen. So I've decided next year at the Miller Ho 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 party, there's going to be no cell phones. We're getting a big bucket and everybody's going to put them in there when they come in the house. Now that will be a much better Christmas. I'm being a little silly here, but I'm going to say this. Some of us need some no phone zones. I'm not just talking to boys and girls. I'm talking to some parents here. The saddest thing I saw over the holidays was a little girl talking to an older relative saying, "Are you really listening to me? Listen to me." We've passed the time of being absurd. Look, technology and screens and all of this is changing us. You must realize that you cannot be controlled by anything but the Holy Spirit of God. So even old Pastor Mike here, I'm making some changes to my screen time. What takes your time and what wastes your time? What is it that takes your time? The days are evil. Why, you'll turn around and say, well, where did the time go? Yes, where did the time go? All those days you could have spent with your children. By the way, if it's time to eat dinner at home, I've asked you this many times as a pastor, you know, what do you do? What's on your dining room table? Well, I hope there are placemats and you sit down and you have a meal together with your family. Not junk, piles of junk. It's not, you know, you should take it all off. And then you know what? Turn off all the TVs, turn off all the phones. And this is unbelievable. It will be scary at first. Look at somebody in the face. It's going to scare you at first. You're not going to know what to do. I will live by God's wisdom and I will make the most of my time. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm taking back my time from the time wasters and the time takers. The days are evil. Jesus said, go make disciples. Takes time. Tell the nations. Takes time. Watch that you don't enter into temptation. Be careful. Takes time. Watch for the Lord's return. Takes time. Third, I will understand the will of the Lord. I will understand the will of the Lord. May I ask you this question? Here's how you understand what he's saying here. How many times in 2017 did you say to the Lord, why, Lord? Why? Why have you let this happen? Why is this taking place? When we ask the word why, and it's all through the scriptures, we learn it from the psalmist. It's not wrong to ask why, but it's important to understand that we don't always understand God's purposes. And one of the ways that you understand the will of the Lord is that you understand and accept that His ways are greater than ours. His ways are beyond ours. Why does He bring the people into your life? It's in the plan and purpose of God. It is the will of God for us. Listen, there are some things in the Bible that are clearly laid out. It is the will of God for people to be born again. It is the will of God for God's people to live holy lives. That means we're not all caught up in this junk. We're not caught up in all of this world, this other world that's not even real, that comes from screens and technology and the falsehood of a world of wisdom that's not right. Look, it requires Christians today to live more separate lives than ever. You have to pay attention to what takes and wastes your time. It's the will of God that we tell the world about Jesus. It's the will of God that we love people who are unlovable and love one another like Jesus loved us. Here's the way you understand the will of the Lord and not be foolish. You know what a foolish person does? A foolish person gets mad when something happens in their life that they don't like. You see, God brings things in our life that we don't understand because all things work together for good. They're not all good for those who love God. So Paul prayed for the Colossians. Colossians 1:9, he said, we have not ceased to pray for you to be filled with the knowledge of His will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm praying that for you. I'm praying Colossians 1:9 regularly for our church, for myself, for you, that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will. You see, the Lord is at work. He is doing what He is doing in these days. He's not stopped working. Though we are living with distracted minds, He is at work. So remember today, it is important. Live by God's wisdom. I'm gonna make this a priority in my life. I'm gonna take back my time. It's gonna be hard for me to do it, but there's some things I'm gonna say, no more, no more. Here's when I'm gonna give this much of my time to do this and this. I'm getting rid of the time wasters. I'm getting rid of the time takers. I'm taking back my time in order to honor Jesus and do what He's called me to do. Third, I'm going to understand the will of the Lord. And when I don't understand it, I'm going to say what Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Finally, I'm going to live a Spirit-filled life. He says here, don't be drunk, be filled Don't be drunk, be filled. May I ask you this question I had to ask myself? What were you filled with in 2017? You know, when you're filled with something, this is really important, we're about finished, it comes out of you. Did you know that? When something's filled, it comes out of you. Were you filled with rage and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred? Were you filled with remorse and sorrow and sadness and discouragement? What filled your life in 2017? Pastor Mike, it wasn't one thing. Oh, friend, but you need to sit down long enough and ask yourself, what have you been filled with? We're all filled with something. But you see, Paul says it here, what a waste. Don't be drunk, be filled. Be filled. Be filled so that when people see us, listen, children of light, they see what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. Many of us in this room know this, love. What comes out of a Spirit-filled person? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, tenderheartedness, gentleness, self-control. That's what comes out. You start looking like Jesus, your Lord. You start to behave as He did. You walk in wisdom. You take advantage of your time. Jesus never wasted a minute. He understood the will of God for His life and His coming. And He also was filled with the fullness of God. Look, what fills you? What fills you? Well, the Bible tells us that a Spirit-filled life is a life where we follow, not lead. We follow. As many as are led by the Spirit, Paul says, these are children of God. So you've heard my priorities for 2018. I don't know what God's going to lead you to do, but I have four things that are going to be before me for the whole year. As many days as God gives me, I'm going to commit to you that I will do the best I can by the help of the Lord to live by God's wisdom. I don't know what I'm going to face in 2018, nor do you. I'm going to do what I can to be obedient with the help of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to take back my time. I'm going to have to make some changes to my schedule. I'm going to have to make some changes to the way I talk on the phone, for heaven's sakes, and I'll be happy to do it. Boys and girls, did you know? And this is where I'm chasing a rabbit, but it's about time. But this will be a good rabbit for you. Did you know, boys and girls, that in the old days, when Pastor Mike was younger, they had a phone, but it was hooked up to the wall. And you plugged it in the wall, and it had a wire that came out of it, and the phone would ring on your desk. And you know what? If you missed the call, guess what? You just had to call them back when you could. Nobody gave you a voicemail. Oh, would that not? What would a world without voicemail be? Oh, nobody sent you a text message and got mad because you didn't respond in 3 seconds quickly to the text message. What would it be to have a rotary phone that could ring and ring and you just get back to people when you can? Pastor Mike, you're living in an old world. I know I heard that amen, but I like living in it. I like living in it. So, I can't get rid of all my things, but you know what I can do? I can make the most of my time so that I live by the wisdom of God, understand His will, and live a spirit, yielding myself, just like Brittany sang about, yielding and submitting to the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit, once I confess my sin, to allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill me up so that I am of usefulness to God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We seek to hide Your Word in our hearts that we might not sin against You. And many of us gather in this room week by week. We have gathered together for years. This church has gathered for years. We've heard all kinds of sermons. We've read the Bible. We've taught the Bible. But Lord, may we stop today and ask how we're doing walking as children of light. Help us, Lord, to know that as we walk as children of light, dark things are exposed. That's why sometimes people don't like us when we tell them about Jesus and we live for the Lord. But the light shines anyway. So Lord, help us today. Help me today in front of my friends to live by the wisdom of God, to take back my time, to understand the will of the Lord, and to live a Spirit-filled life. Whatever it looks like, I don't care. I'll do what you tell me to do. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. It's our practice to stand, sing. We give a public invitation. We invite people to come to know Jesus. And many, many, many people through the years have come right down the aisles of this building and this church and talked to the pastors and others and said, look, I'm ready to follow Jesus. I'm ready to join this church.